Because the enemy of our souls knows the power of prayer. The enemy of our souls knows that when we, the children of God, engage in prayer with God, that in that moment, we create a space whereby in our lives, we end up hearing from God. And when God speaks, Genesis says, when God speaks, God does. And whatever God does, the Bible says, is always good. And so what we end up is we end up living busy lives. We end up doing so many different things. We've got our fingers as pastelies in so many different pies that sometimes on the with full intention to pray, we end up becoming distracted on the journey of prayer. But the Bible really teaches us here that prayer is the most important thing. That the greatest thing we can do is connect on a level of intimacy with our Father where we can hear the Father's voice. We can be shopping in Asda. We can be preaching a sermon. God can interrupt our thoughts. We can prophesy over someone while we're speaking. We can be in worship. God can lead us prophetically. As we heard just a few moments ago at the start, you prayed for us for buildings because we're the people who know what it is to really hear the voice of God. Prayer for me, you know, has just been something that I've had to, it's had to become for me a non-negotiable. And I know it has for you as well. I'm preaching to the choir here. You're saying, Glenn, I'm with you. I'm on the same wavelength. But I realize this, that certainly in our church, most Christians don't pray. Or they pray when they're in the valley of the shadow of death. And their prayer looks like this. Help. But you know, one of the things, the most powerful things I've discovered for prayer is that prayer should never be a 10-minute segmented moment of time in the morning, but prayer is literally a relationship, a walk with God. Can you imagine me with my wife? She's Latin American. Can you imagine me with my wife just saying to my wife, okay, honey, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to talk to you for 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. How well is that going to go down, do you think? Any takers? She's Latin American. Here's what's going to happen. She's going to kill me. But because she's a woman of God, she'll raise me from the dead just so she can kill me again. Because the reality is this, is my relationship with my wife can't be based on 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. We're on this journey together. So during these two sessions, she's already texted me 9 times. And not because she's high maintenance, because right now she's at the game watching my son play football. She's sending me pictures. She's saying he's just done this. He's crying. He's up again. Oh no, he's just punched somebody in the head. What are we going to do? We've just been invited to go night clubbing with all the parents from the team today. Should we go to the club with them? Should we not? What do you think about that? And all these sorts of things. This is happening because this relationship, this conversation is ongoing. But I do believe in the power of prayer in the morning, and that in the same way that your computer goes online, and as soon as it's online, it's ready to send and receive emails. I believe prayer does that. Prayer in that morning, that moment in the morning, you get out. It could be in the shower, you're multitasking, which is actually not true. There's no such thing as multitasking, researchers now say. But you're praying, just saying, God, today my spirit, I'm just going online, I'm ready. And I find that when I'm praying and I'm reading the Bible in the morning, that most of the time, I'd actually hear the voice of God. But what I've done is I've gone online. I've created a space. And I can be walking through Asda or walking through an airport or going into a church meeting setting and sitting down with all the budget holders. And as we sit there and we end up at an impasse on something, like 2 days ago, I was just saying yesterday, the leaders, my sound and lighting guys brought their year budget from April through to next March is £344,000 just for a 12-month budget. And we reach a moment of impasse. But because I've gone online with God and because over many years I've nurtured the ability just to hear the voice of God. Now, God speaks to us in different ways, and I haven't got time, and you know all about that anyway. But because I've gone online, the Spirit of God speaks. And here's what happens. When the Spirit of God speaks, it always happens, and it's good. God said, let there be, and there was, and it was good. And the enemy of our souls understands and realizes the power of prayer. And so what happens is we end up in church life having prayer meetings that are every week. And you have the same faithful few who enjoy the prayer. But we think to ourselves, how come the masses are not getting engaged? And we end up with a generation of men and women in our schools, in our colleges and universities. I know you pray every day because you're all spiritual people. But the people that you lead who are praying probably less and less. Because the devil understands the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And I want to encourage you again, prayer is powerful. Prayer creates that space. You hear from God. I learned this 18 years ago. No, 20 years ago. I was in my second year of Bible school, and we had something called Spiritual Emphasis Week. And you would think in Bible school, everything was spiritual emphasis, but it wasn't really. And we flew in a man from the Toronto Vineyard Church. His name was Guy Chevreau. He was one of the architects during the Toronto Blessing 20 years ago. And he came down, and the president of the college said, "Glenn, would you take the car? Would you go and pick him up?" Now, we were an hour and a half from Sydney Airport, so I drove to pick him up. Guy gets in the car, we're driving, and I said, "Guy, obviously what's happening in Toronto is amazing. Just tell me one story." He said, "Okay, let me tell you this story." He said, "Last week, or two weeks ago, one of our girls, 17, Karis, she comes down the front in the altar, and she gets on her knees before God and says, 'God, here I am, use me. Anything you want me to do, I'll do for you.'" And she just opened her life to the Spirit of God. The language I'm using is this: creating space to hear from God. He said, on the way home that night, she was driving her dad's station wagon, you know, panel wood beating down the side. You know, you've got that whole image in your mind. She's 17 years of age. And as she drives past the petrol station, the Spirit of God speaks to her. Now, a thought that burns hot, she couldn't escape it. And the thought that was burning hot in her spirit was this. Somebody just said, one of our ladies here just a few moments ago, she said, "Every time I heard about the Journey Academy, I just get excited on the inside." Same thing. The Spirit of God said this: turn around, go back to the petrol station, go into the shop on the forecourt there, and stand on your head next to the Coke machine. Now, she did what most of us just did. That's not the way the Holy Spirit speaks, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Everything decent and in order. Really, you got to read the book. You need to read the book just a little bit more to see how much of a gentleman he ain't, to see how decent and in order doesn't always mean what we think decent and in order means. And so she's driving away going, that coffee must have been bad, or that curry or whatever. You know, I'm going to have to lay off Cocoa Pops. That's just wrong. And she keeps driving. And the further she drives away from the petrol station, she gets a sense of regret. And, I missed it. You know that sense you get in missed opportunity? And she thought, well, what's the worst that could happen? To quote Dr. Pepper. So she turned around. She drove back the mile to the petrol station, pulled up on the forecourt, gets out of the car. Thankfully, she's wearing jeans. She's thinking maybe this is a test, because she just really felt in the spirit that it was a Coke machine. And she was hoping that maybe it was a phantom machine. So she'd look in. It was just a test to see God saying, "Really? Really?" And when she looks through the window in the shop, she sees no one shopping. There's no one behind the counter. But to her dismay, she sees a Coke machine in the corner. So she thinks to herself, "If I'm quick, I can get into the shop, stand on my head, come back, and nobody will know." And as she opened the door, it's true, she opened the door, the buzzer rang above the door. And the man comes out from the back of the shop and stands behind the counter. He looks at her, she looks at him, he looks at her, she looks at him. She thinks, what's the worst that could happen? It's amazing how many people just would prefer to hang on to their reputation than do what God said. Isn't that amazing? We're more concerned of what we think other people may think, which I said yesterday is called being a Pharisee. So she took a deep breath. She walked the 30 paces to the corner of the shop. She looked at the man. He looked at her. She looked at him. He looked at her. She looked at the wall, went, what's the worst that could happen? She put her head on the floor, flicked her feet up against the wall, and counted to 10. She then stood up, so embarrassed, and she ran to the door. And as she's going out the door, she looks back, and the man behind the counter is going, she said, "I'm so sorry to embarrass you." He said, "Why did you do that?" She said, "You wouldn't believe me." He said, "No, tell me." And she says, "Well, I'm a Christian. And you know, we're geeks and boring, but you know what? I was just driving past the shop tonight. I felt God say that I need to come and stand on my head next to this Coke machine. I'm so sorry, you know." And he said, "Come here." So she walked to the counter. And as she got to the counter, he pulled out a handgun from under the counter and put it on the countertop. She freaked out. He said, "I'm not going to shoot you." She said, "Thanks." Well, I don't know that. I just added that bit. And here's what he said. He said, 5 seconds before you walked through the door, you got to understand this. He said, "My life is horrible. My wife has left me. My kids don't want to know me. I'm in a job that I hate with people I despise." He said, "I brought this gun tonight because in 10 minutes from now, I finish my shift. And I was going to go out the back, put the gun to the roof of my mouth and pull the trigger." And then he said this: 5 seconds before you walked through the door, which was after God had spoken to Karis, 5 seconds before you walked through the door, I said, "God, if you were real." He said, "I was at the back putting baked beans on the stock shelves. God, if you were real, make someone walk in this shop and stand on their head next to that Coke machine. He said, no sooner did I pray it than the door opened. You looked at me. I looked at you. You looked at me. She said, can I tell you about my God? He said, yes, please. And Guy said this. He said, on Sunday night, Glenn, there was a man in church on the second row with his hands raised, all because a 17-year-old girl created space to hear from God. The devil doesn't want that to happen in your church. The following year, I'm in my third year of Bible school. Guy's coming back to do spiritual emphasis week. I said to the president, can I go pick him up? He goes, absolutely. So I drive the car, pick him up. I said, Guy, do you remember me? He goes, not really. I said, but you told me a story last year in the car. He goes, Karis? I said, Karis. I said, what's happened? He said, Glenn, it's even better. He said, what's happened now is this, is not only is he saved and in church, he says, but 3 weeks ago, I look back, five rows back, he's now remarried to his wife. Just put your theology aside and all that. Remarried to his wife. He's with all his kids, and they're all in church worshiping Jesus because a young woman heard from God. That's the power of prayer. Church ain't boring. Christianity ain't boring. We forgot how to hear the voice of God.